If you got your Bible, go to Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew 13, but you know we're going to do some review beforehand. And we've got some fresh faces, so let me gotta get us up to speed. The Mayan Indians said it a long time ago. Barton, John, and I were just kids when they said years and years and years and years ago. They said in the year 2012, on December the 21st, 2012, was going to be the end of the world. Now, I don't know all the things they said was going to happen to make that be the case. Polls were going to switch, those kind of things. I don't know. And here's the point. I don't care at this point. But the Mayan Indians introduced into our culture, or somebody took what the Mayan Indians said and introduced it into our culture, it becomes part of our conversation. I hear it at work, in the jail. I bet you hear it at your work, and if you don't hear it at your work, you will hear it at your work, especially in the fall of this year. As it gets closer to 12, 21, 12, you're going to hear people talking about it. Now, having said that, those of us who grew up going to church like I did have a kind of a standard response. When somebody starts predicting the end of the world or predicting the return of the Lord, the standard response I always gave was, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And basically mocking the person who said they knew. Until an old preacher said to me one time, he said, you know, we make fun of those folks that think they know that the day of the Lord's coming, or the particular day the Lord's coming, and said, but the truth is, we act like we know that He's not coming that day. So I've said it before, going to keep saying it for the next few months, if the Lord gives us the next few months. I don't know if the Lord is coming 12-21-12. I don't know that the Lord is not coming 12-21-12. So rather than me kind of blow it off when somebody mentions it, no, I want to use it to God's glory and to my benefit and to their benefit. You understand what I mean? If that conversation comes up, I want to acknowledge that since I don't know when the Lord comes, He could come 12, 21, 12. Right? He could come
tomorrow,
May 9th, 2012. He could come today. He could come now. He could come in a half hour. He could come now. I don't know. So what I want to do for me, what I want to do for me is I want to be ready. I want to be ready for whatever comes, whenever He comes, right? Now, when do you think you ought to get ready for then? I'd start now. Since you don't know, it might be next minute. Start right now. But let's say it is 12, 21, 12. When do you get started? I would suggest now, because I've seen some of you. You got some work to do, right? Now, just be real honest. Some of us have got some stuff to do, right? Well, I was looking right at you, but we got work to do, don't we? And then what I want to do is I want my family to be ready. I want my brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins, and I don't have sisters. I'm just naming every relative I've got. I want them all to be ready. And then I want the people that ask me. I'm sorry? Yeah, tell them let's wait. They can go to class, and then after class they can come and get something to eat. We'll have plenty. Okay? Thanks, Kelly. If you need a big stick, I got one in my... That's mean. Bad teacher. Okay, here's my point. I want those friends of mine that are going to mention it, I want the people who I work with who are going to comment about this. They're going to ask me, because I'm the oldest guy in that building. I'm the oldest guy they know. And they'll say, Rex, do you think that the end of the world really could be 12-21-12? You know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, yeah, it could be. Could it be? Yes. I'm not going to give them any comfort that it might not be. Because it could be. So what I want to do is help them get ready, right? Now this book called Matthew, it's a gospel, called a gospel because it's good news. This is not one of those stuff you read, you're going to die and burn in hell or that kind of stuff. This is good news. This was written about Jesus, but it was written after Jesus went back to heaven. So it was written to help people get ready for Jesus when He comes back the second time, okay? So, we've been walking through every chapter. So do you, and we've given several different points to each chapter, but just give me one to get everybody on the same page and up to speed. Chapter 1, what do I know? What do I learn from this book, this letter, this gospel, this story called Matthew? What do I know that will help me get ready? Number 1. God keeps His promises. Does not matter time, does not matter age, does not matter place, does not matter person. He keeps His promises. Great story there. Chapter 2, what do I know that helps me be ready for the day that the Lord comes? God is in charge, folks. God will rule. Now, that chapter talks about when things are good, it's obviously God's in charge. But that chapter talks about when things are horrible. So when you and I think everything's the worst it could be, we are still comforted, should be comforted by the fact that God is in charge. All right, chapter 3. It's not hard. Chapter 3. Repent and follow through. Now, repent means what? Get your head right to turn from the direction you're going and go in the other direction. If you're going down the wrong road, you cannot get on the right road just by thinking it. You got to turn around. Repent and then follow through. You can say, hey, I need to change directions. I need to turn around. But you still got to turn around. All right, chapter 4, what do?
Resist the devil and he will flee.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Boy, there's a promise. You resist the devil and you can win. Yes, you can. Well, I just can't. I just can't do any better. I'm so weak. I understand being weak. Well, I just don't think I can do any better. My mother did this to me and my father did. Okay, I know about mothers and fathers. I've got them and I've been them. And I'm telling you, they're not the reason you got trouble. They may have some reason that you got started in some trouble, but the reason you got trouble is because you're not resisting the devil. So you resist. He'll flee. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. We lumped all those together. That sermon, what did Jesus tell us? Get right inside and outside. This old business, oh, I go to church every Sunday. I go to worship every Sunday. You know, she talks deeper when you talk about church. I go to church every Sunday and I read my Bible every day and I pray every... I'm glad you go to church and I'm glad you read your Bible. But what you do on the outside doesn't matter a whit if you don't do it on the inside too. Lots of us look good going to church. And lots of us don't have much of the Lord on the inside outside of church. Make sense? Get right inside and outside. Chapter 8. What do I learn? Ask God for something. I am a big believer, and you cannot read Matthew without picking up on this. If you need something, ask Him. What do you need? Do you need help with a... Do you need to find a house? What do you do? You ask God. Can He do something about that, Zimri? He sure can. You got some trouble with your car, Rick, and ask God. What can He do something about that? He sure can. What if you've got an addiction? What if you've got a messy marriage? What if you've got kids that you can't stand?
I don't think you do anything about that one.
Well, ask Esther. What about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
The point is, God can do it. You got to ask. There's a verse that you'll find later. Jesus' little brother writes it, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus' little brother writes it when he says, "You have not because you ask not." You can't, you say, God didn't do this for me because I didn't ask Him. So ask God for it. All right, chapter 9, what do you get? 9?
Follow.
Have faith is a good one. How about follow? We get our stuff so messed up and so complicated. Well, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Follow Jesus. Try to be like Jesus. Watch what happens. Now that leads us into chapter 10, which the one I wanted you to remember out of all those in chapter 10 was what? It is enough to be like Jesus. I hear it all the time from people who've been exposed to spiritual teaching. You notice when you say spiritual, your voice gets deeper? And it sounds so much more spiritual.
when you've been exposed to spiritual teaching,
well, you get so complicated, you don't read your Bible enough, you don't pray enough. That's true, and that's true. The point is, though, are you trying to be like Jesus? That's what matters, folks. It is enough to be like Jesus. Jesus said so. He says it, that settles it. Chapter 11. Yoke up, buddy. And that's no yoke. Yoke up. Get in the yoke with Jesus. Now, if Jesus is in the yoke, who's doing the heavy lifting? He is. So what am I doing in the yoke? It helps me stay in step with Jesus. I don't have to do any of the work. In fact, I'm there to rest. He says so. Some of you, and Zimri said it earlier, just as so right. And others, other folks sitting in here who feel that way, who feel so tired. Sometimes it's physical on the outside from working so hard. Sometimes it's on the inside from having to battle all the stuff that goes on in our lives and in our fears and our guilts and our angers. All that stuff. Rest, okay? Yoke up with Jesus. Let Him do the hard stuff. You just stay in step with Him and rest. Alright, chapter 12. What do I learn? What is chapter 12? I'm sorry? Be on Jesus' side. You're going to get to pick. You get to pick every day. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Yeah, how many times you hear that? Well, I'll tell you what, you hear that in court a bunch. And man, when it comes to a divorce, you hear it about way too much. Well, whose side are you on? I'm on Jesus' side, okay? I'm on Jesus' side. Now, I used to hear it a lot back when I was a preacher, and people always ask about, notice they're spiritual people, what is your position about this issue, brother, and this issue, brother? And I practiced, when I finally got tired of trying to please everybody or know the answer to every question and solve every problem, that didn't take me long to figure out I couldn't. So I figured out an answer. Said, I don't know. I don't know about that issue, and I don't know about that issue. I don't know about that position, but I do know this. I'm on the Lord's side. Whatever Jesus says, I'm going to agree with it. It is always right to agree with God. So I want to be on the Lord's side. And then chapter 13, we looked at it last week. We're going to look at it again this week. Do you remember what He said last week? What did He say? What did He teach us? I didn't hear it. Bloom where you're planted, folks. God puts you. It says it. In Matthew 13, it said it. That Jesus puts you where He wants you. And if He puts you where He wants you, that's verse 38. If Jesus puts you here, if He puts you in this town, if He puts you in this marriage, if He puts you in this church, if He puts you in this job, if He puts you here, then bloom. Now that doesn't mean that those things can't change in your life, because they will change. But if you sit, and this happens lots and lots of times, I see people, I get a lot of spiritual people that they'll come to church here and they'll think, I want to do something great for God. I want to do something significant. And I love that. I love the fact that they want to do that. But while they're talking about that, they're doing nothing for Him here. No. You want to do something great for God? Start doing stuff for God right here. Do the simple things. Do the little things. Do the nothing that nobody notices things. And then watch what God does with that. That's what's amazing. All right, enough of that. Look at chapter 13. We're going to hit several of these in a row. Verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. All right, mark it. Now look at verse 33. And He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Mark it. Now look at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Mark it. Verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Mark it. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. All right, stop. Five times in just that much space, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like, 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 and if I've counted correctly, I need one more, the kingdom of heaven is like. What do you think His point is? What does he want us to know? What does he want us to understand? What does he want us to... Well, what does he want us to understand? What does he want us to know? What the kingdom of heaven is. How important the kingdom of heaven is. The significance of the kingdom of heaven in my life. Whatever way you want to explain it, Jesus keeps repeating it to get me to do what? To pay attention to it. When God repeats Himself, that means we ought to pay attention to it. So let's back up at Him again. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, time out a second, real quick. Those of you who grew up going to church, when you hear the phrase kingdom of heaven, two things come to your mind, I suspect. See if, well, let me give you a test. Those of you who grew up going to church, if somebody says kingdom of heaven, the first thing you think of is?
Church.
Church or? Heaven. You think of church or heaven. And that's, you're not doing anything bad or wrong or tacky or nasty. You're not doing anything sinful by thinking of those things. But Jesus will teach in another gospel, He'll say the kingdom of heaven is in you. The kingdom is in you. Now what does that mean that the kingdom is in you? What exactly is a kingdom? Say it. That's all a kingdom is. It's a place where the king gets to be boss. It's a place where the king rules. It's where the king reigns. So when Jesus looked at those folks and says, the kingdom is within you, what was he saying?
We control ourselves.
If you're going to be in the kingdom, what do you got to do? Let the king be boss. You got to let the king be your boss. Now, how would your life be different? Real quick. How would your life, and I'll let you talk a second, how would your life be different if you had let Jesus be your boss?
I never would have been on drugs.
Never been on drugs. How would your life be different?
Different.
I'd have never said some of the words I said. How would your life be different if you'd let Jesus be the king and let him reign in you?
I wouldn't have been such a bad father.
I wouldn't have been a bad father. All right, guys, we got to think through this. And I'm waiting. If Jesus had really been the king of your heart, if he'd been the king of your life, if the kingdom of heaven had really been inside you, how would your life be different? I wouldn't have been self-destructive. How would your life be different? Anybody else? Yeah, I wouldn't have worried myself sick about all the things I couldn't change, and I'd have started working on the thing I could, which is me. I would quit worrying about what that person said or what those people did, because I'd understand that I'm not the boss of them. But neither are they the boss of me. I love that. When a little kid gets mad, and he looks at a big city. Oh, when I saw it Sunday, I said, she didn't say it because she's too little to say it, but it was in her heart. I could see it in her eyes flashing. Audrey was helping Kennedy. Kennedy had some kind of little something on her cheek right up next to her eye. And Audrey was being little Mama Monica. She was her thumb and rubbing at that. And Kennedy took about three, when she took about three swipes of it, Kennedy flashed those eyes at her and said, stop! And swung at her, you know, to get her to stop. And you know what she was saying? In her little baby mind, you know what she was saying? You're not the boss of me. Yeah, that's right. I wish we'd learn that. I wish we'd learn that. There's some people that ain't the boss of me. And then I wish we'd learn it the other way and say it to Jesus. Jesus, you are the boss of me. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. We say it's church. I understand, but when we say church, we start thinking about all of us being together, being spiritual. When we think about heaven, we think about clouds and harps and wings and stuff. I hope not. And I hate the thought. I hear people say, when heaven we're going to get to sing all, that's spiritual people say, we're going to get to sing praises to God all day. Oh my. I hope not. I hope not. If God wants me to, I'm like turning my chance down, you know, right? But I don't, you know what the kingdom of heaven is? It's letting God be the boss of you. It's letting Jesus be in the king of your king. letting Jesus be the king of your heart and in your life, letting Him make the decision, rather than acting on what you think, rather than acting on what you feel, rather than acting on what you want, you let Jesus make the decision. Now, how would that have changed your life? I tell you what, tons of things would have been different in my life had I let Jesus be the king of me. If I let Jesus be the boss, that's what He means by kingdom of heaven. Now read what it says. It's like a mustard seed. So which a man took and planted in his field, and though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows the largest of garden plants, it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air and come and perch in its branches. What's the point? It's bigger than it looks. If you let Jesus be the boss of you, you cannot help but grow. If you let Jesus be the boss of you, it will change your world. In fact, you'll become such a different kind of person. There'll be other people that hang around you. They'll be perched on your branches. Look at the next one. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large bowl of flour, a large amount of flour, until it worked all through the dough. I told you the story. Cannot miss telling you it again, though, because it's just as clear to me. My mother is standing at our cabinet working the dough. She's making homemade rolls. Ooh, yeast rolls. And she's working that yeast in. And she's throwing flour. And flour's going. And she's just working that dough. I'm just tall enough to just... my head doesn't even come to the counter yet. And I'm looking up at her. And I'm saying, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, I'm kneading the dough. My answer was, I wish you would hurry. I'm needing it too. Right? Well, what's the point of this? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. What's the point? It grows. It changes. It influences everything. If I let Jesus be the boss of me, then what does it change? It changes everything in my life. It changes the way I talk. It changes the way I act. It changes the way, most importantly, the way I react. Now, I know some of us get real focused, and there's nothing wrong with this. Listen to me. There's some of us get real focused on a particular habit we have, and we're trying to break it. So much so that we'll say, okay, now I'm going to quit, and you fill in the blank. It may be quit drinking, quit smoking, quit dancing, cussing, spitting, chewing, or going with girls that do. I don't know. You figure out something, you're going to quit. And then you forget everything else. I hear guys say, I haven't said a cuss word in 2 weeks. Well, that is a good thing. But are you still yelling at your wife? Are you still being mean to your kids? I hear people say, I've gone without a cigarette for 2 days. Well, that's good. That is good. If you go for 2 days, that's excellent. But are you kicking people at home because you're so mad? I hear, you know where I hear that most? I've been on a diet for a week. Divorce papers are signed tomorrow. You know, man, yeah. You start hurting and you start hurting other people. If you let the kingdom of God in you, if you let Jesus be your boss about any one thing, He then will take charge of some other things. There's no end to that deal, right? Keep reading. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Now folks, you know this is true. If you're going to buy a house and you walk in and one of the closets had a safe in it, what would you do? I would too. I mean, that's just honesty. Wouldn't you want that house a little bit more, thinking maybe there's some money in that? So what if it did have? What if it had lots of money in it? What if it had enough money to buy the house? What would you do? Well, I'd buy that house no matter what they ask. I wouldn't be making a bargain with them. I'd want the house. I'd do whatever I could do to get the house. But kingdom of heaven, letting Jesus be the boss of you, is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. What did he just tell us? What did Jesus just teach us? Yeah, letting Jesus be the boss of you is the most important thing in your life. Give up anything and everything, anybody, everybody, to get it. One more time. Give up anything, anybody. Give up anything and anybody to get the kingdom of heaven, to let Jesus be the boss of you. Well, I just can't be that way because I love Him so much. dump him, love Jesus. You okay?
I know you are, sister. I know you are. I know you are. Bless your heart. I know you are.
What about parents and kids?
You're stuck with them.
More like, I've been wanting to ask this since you're bringing it up. Zimri's church, when they're 13 years old, they present them. It's like a baptism in church. Either you're with us or you're without us. But if you're not with us in the church and believing in God or the apostle, whoever, Hidancho, then they turn their kids away from them. They like, you know what, that's it. We're done with you. You can't come over here. We know you're no longer. Is that, how does that play?
Okay. Now, I don't know this particular religion. Don't know that. So we're not going to discuss them. I'm not going to mention what church it is or anything. I'm going to just tell you, if Jesus is the boss of me, when do I give up on my kids? I don't. That prodigal son's father was looking for him until he came walking back from that pig pen, right? Right? Boy, you die trying to save them. That's what you do. That doesn't mean you agree with them. Do you hear me? That does not mean you agree with them. It does not mean you approve of them. Are you listening to me? Doesn't mean you agree. Doesn't mean you approve. But you do everything you can to turn them. Now, that means sometimes being tough on them, young man. Sometimes that means you got to be tough. Sometimes that means you got to. You can't enable them to their foolishness. Point made? But if the kingdom of God, if you understand what the kingdom of heaven is, you do everything you can to get it. You give up every... He said he sold everything he had. You give up any relationship. Give up any hobby. Give up any habit. Give it up if that's what it takes to let Jesus be the boss of you. Make sense? Keep reading. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Same deal. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Do not let anybody, anything stand in your way of letting Jesus be the boss of you. And then he tells one more story. And I'll read this. And it teaches itself, so we'll just let Jesus teach us. Once again, the kingdom is like a net that was let down in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Stop. What did I just learn from Jesus, who made all men and loves all men and died for all men and wants all men to be saved? What did I just learn? There are good and there are bad. Do I make that choice? Am I the one that makes that determination? No, he does. Well, they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. Some versions will say end of the world. And I'm sure there's somebody somewhere that says, if you look at that just right, you'll see 12, 21, 12. I don't know. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. Stop. They will separate the wicked from the righteous. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. But if you let Jesus be the king of you, you have to understand there are some that are right with God and there are some that are wrong with God. There are some righteous and there are some wicked. Now, what is it that makes... Now, stay with me. Some of you have been Bible students for a while, so you get this right, or I'm going to lay hands on you. What is it that makes... I'm going to start with the easy question. What is it that makes someone wicked? What is it that makes someone one of the wicked? They disobey God. They sin. Keep going. What is it that makes somebody wicked?
church terms or real terms?
Just any terms.
The absence of God.
All right, they ignore God in their life. They become wicked. Keep going.
The absence of father and parents.
Okay, but I know people who are not that are righteous who don't have a mother and father. So that can have an influence. But what is it to make somebody wicked? Yeah, and that's what you were all saying. It's what you do with what you've got. It's your actions and your reactions to things. That's what makes someone wicked. Now stay with me. What is it that makes someone righteous? Oh, I was hoping you'd say that. Wrong. You know what makes us righteous? His actions. His actions make us righteous. Right? Because the truth is, all the fish in this sea right here are wicked. But because of what Jesus did for us, what did He do? He counts us as, writes it down as, makes sure everybody happens to know it. These are righteous. Now, are we righteous?
Yes, yes, no.
I love it. Rick got it. He said, yes, no. Are we righteous? In Jesus' sight, are we righteous?
Yes.
Are we righteous because of what we've done? No. Are you righteous? Yes, no. Are you righteous? No, yes. Just depend on what day I had. And today it was no, yes. What is it that makes us wicked? Now stay with me. What is it that makes us wicked? Our actions. What is it that makes us righteous? His actions. Ooh, very good. Good students. So what am I supposed to learn from this? If there are righteous and there are wicked, and they're going to be separated at the end of the world, and the righteous are going to be gathered to Him, and the wicked, look what it says, throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What am I supposed to learn from that? I'm sorry? You want to be among the righteous. All right, now, stay in the five parables. Stay in the five parables and answer the question. How do I get to be among the righteous? Let Jesus be the boss of you. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus being the boss of you. Jesus is being the boss of you. Jesus is being the boss of you. Jesus is being the boss of you. Jesus being the boss of you. Jesus being the boss of you. Five times Jesus said it. So if I want to be among the righteous, I'd let Jesus make my decisions. Now, that decision about salvation is a big one. We'll talk about it later in more detail. But it's not about what the preacher on TV said. It's not about what the pastor in the pulpit, he's speaking very spiritual, says. No, it's what Jesus says. How do you know? I asked somebody one time, I said, how do you know if you're saved or not? And they said, well, you just know. No, the only way you can know you're saved is if Jesus says so. Because Jesus is the boss of you if you're saved, right? All right, enough of that. He just says that the wicked, though, are going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point because it's going to come back up, but I'm going to say it. We live in a world. We live in a politically, philosophical world that doesn't want there to be any consequences, long-term consequences to anything. Anything. You heard the queen of the talk shows say, talking about judgment, talking about hell, fire, and damnation. She said, my God wouldn't do that. I appreciate her kind heart and how she wants people not to be punished. I understand that. I don't want to be punished. I don't want people I love to be punished. But the truth is, her God won't do it, but God Almighty in heaven will do it. And so this is not a theoretical. This is not even a theological discussion tonight. This is real stuff. This discussion with your friend about if you think the end of the world is coming 12/21/12, I said, maybe so. It sure could be. We might ought to get ready for that. Because what's going to happen on that day? If that is the day, what's going to happen on that day? The righteous and fish are going to be gathered to Jesus, and the wicked fish are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, who said that? Who just happened to die for everybody? So all the wicked could be righteous based on what He does and not just what we do. Make sense? All right. Jesus asked the question, that's how I'll end. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? I love Jesus. Doesn't He just so good? He finished, He said, have you understood all these things? And your answer is, I'll let you answer and we'll take a few minutes to do it. Have you understood these things? Have you understood these things? I heard Lacey say yes, so Lacey, tell us what you understood. Well, we'll start with a yes. Tell me something you understood from what Jesus taught us tonight. I want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Anybody understand how you get to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? Say it again, Monica. Let Jesus be the way. Anybody, did you understand these things? Tell me what you understood.
There is going to be an end. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to separate the wicked from the righteous.
It's coming. I don't know the date, but it's coming. Did you understand these things?
If I want to be in the kingdom, it's
going to
cost me.
Ooh. Yeah, this is one of those interesting points. Is it going to cost you to be saved? Listen, those of you who are Bible students, stay with the parable is right. Parable is right. But I want to add some other knowledge to us right quick. Do I have to earn my salvation? No. But letting Jesus be the boss of me, does it cost me? You understand the point that we're making in the parable? It's not that you're buying salvation. It means you're doing the work it takes to let Jesus be the boss of you. And if you're going to let Jesus be the boss of you, what do you got to do? You got to fire some other bosses, don't you? You cannot let your boyfriend, you cannot let your girlfriend, you cannot let your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncles, or cousins be the boss of you. You can't let Facebook be the boss of you. Well, I just don't see people on Facebook filled up. You can't let everybody else have their say. You got to let Jesus have His say. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked, what's your answer? Tell me something you've understood. Anybody?
Our actions make us wicked, but His actions makes us righteous.
I love it. Let's say it one more time. Our actions make us wicked. His actions make us righteous. You can't get a better deal than that, can you? So let's let Jesus be the boss of us, right? It's going to happen. I'm not a prophet, but I'm guaranteeing you it's going to happen. In days to come, maybe not through the long, hot days of summer. But when we roll around September, you're going to hear it more and more at work. You're going to hear more and more about it on the news. As we get closer to September, October, November, people are going to start asking. People are going to start talking about it at work. They're going to start talking about it at home. They're going to start talking about it. Man, do you think really this could be the end of the world? I'm telling you, I'm going to encourage them to believe it, because what will happen if they believe it? They'll do something about it. They'll consider letting Jesus be the boss of them. And then if it happens that day, guess what? They're ready. And if it doesn't happen that day, they're still ready. Because it could happen the next day. Right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. For these folks, their attention, and I know, God, some of these folks worked hard today. They went through some tough things today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us jobs. Thank you for giving us places to live, for food, for clothes, for family and friends. Thank you for all of that. But I'd ask God now you bless these folks. Give them extra blessing for the fact that they, in spite of being tired and frustrated and worn out, they still came here. We thank you for the food we had, and we thank you most of all, though, for your words. And I'd ask, God, that you help us all hold on to these truths. We do want Jesus to be our King. We want Jesus to be the boss of us. We want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all.